As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Late night, midnight on the interstate. I didn't feel so great until I saw the city.
Welcome back to Straight from the Source with Michael Russo. Thanks as always for tuning in. Coming to you from Trier Rink today, locker room 5, where I'm about to sit down with Kalen Addison. Very looking forward to that podcast. Kalen off to an outstanding start this season, has done wonders with the Wild's power play. And will be a great guest. Wait till you hear how good a quote he is. He's somebody that the beat writers are starting to take advantage of. I mean, he is the one thing, if you listen to him, he is a confident kid and he plays that way on the ice. And obviously off to a great start this season as technically the Wild are suddenly. How about the Minnesota Wild right now? 5-1-1 in their last 7 games. Marc-Andre Fleury 5-0-1 in his last 6 starts and starting to play much, much better and close out the homestand on Thursday against the Seattle Kraken before taking about 4 days off and starting a 3-game road trip, LA, Anaheim, and Seattle. Joe Smith will be on that trip for the Athletic, and Joe off to a rocking start here in Minnesota. Just great stories left and right. Went to Iowa last week, watched the Wild's game in Montreal with Tim Army. A real good game from a coach's perspective to watch, and Joe was there to document it all. And then how about this for unbelievable coincidence or luck? Joe is interviewing Aaron Shaw, Mason Shaw's dad, yesterday at the Wild game at the exact moment that Mason Shaw scores his second NHL goal, second in 2 games, and first one ever at home with his dad watching only the second game in person at the exact time. In fact, the dad turned to Joe and gave him a big high five. So Joe wrote that today. Really great read. So make sure you give those a read. Let's talk about the Wild real quick. The injuries are starting to mount. Jordan Greenway, who has only played 1 game, totaling 2 minutes and 58 seconds, is closing in on returning. He's been practicing, was on the ice this morning at the optional practice. He'll get 1 practice on Saturday and maybe another one on Monday. Then they'll fly out to California, and the hope is that he could start that road trip in Los Angeles or in the second of a back-to-back and get him back into the lineup next week. Ryan Hartman is out. What's considered long-term, what that means is always relative. We haven't gotten a full update from the Wild, who are usually pretty tight-lipped when it comes to timelines, but Hartman got into the fight the other day with Jared Tenorti and is out long-term. Marcus Foligno didn't play the game in Chicago with an undisclosed upper body injury. The hope is that he can come on the road trip next week as well. Didn't practice today, but Dean Evason said that at least one of the 3 forwards that are out besides Greenway, the hope is that they can come on the road trip. Now, is that Foligno that he's talking about, or is that Brandon Duhame? Dean had no idea how Brandon got hurt yesterday. They didn't really show it on TV, but that number 72, whose nickname is Wi-Fi for Montreal, I'm not even going to try to pronounce it, the guy that went after Rossi last night, there on the shift that Duhame got hurt on, he went to go check him on that shift, and then the camera panned away. So I don't know if something happened on that incident where maybe there was some sort of collision that got Brandon hurt, but Brandon didn't play again after that shift, and right now he wasn't on the ice today. They're saying it's, quote, not positive. So doesn't sound positive, but The Wild either are not going to call up a forward, or if they call up a forward for tomorrow's game or Thursday's game at Seattle, it's going to be for insurance purposes. The Wild are planning on going with 11 forwards and 7D, and it makes total sense in the world because you can load up the ice times knowing that you don't play again until next Tuesday. You can load up the ice times, and instead of calling up a forward to maybe play 5, 6, 7 minutes, what you do on the fourth line is you double up Matt Boldy, Kirill Kaprizov, Matt Zuccarello, and Joel Eriksson-Ek and give them shifts throughout the game. It'll be the most fun game they play all year, and you'll be able to get real quality ice time for them and extra ice time, and then get them the rest that they'll need before the Wild go and play the Kings. But really makes a lot of sense in my eyes. The Wild doubled up Matt Boldy after Duhaime got hurt yesterday. I think Mason Shaw got one shift doubling up. They didn't do Zuccarello and Kaprizov because they doubled them up in Chicago after Hartman got hurt, and Zuccarello and Kaprizov were absolutely gassed in the third period. They just looked so tired, and I don't think that Evason wanted to do that yesterday, so he only doubled up Boldy and again Mason Shaw on the one shift. And then I think that we'll see all four of those forwards, including Eriksson-Ek, Boldy, Zuccarello, and Kaprizov, of the four that I'm talking about, get doubled up against Seattle. And then for the road trip, they'll obviously have Greenway back, then depending on the status of either Foligno or Duhaime, decide if they need to call up another forward for the road trip as insurance. As I mentioned, Marc-Andre Fleury, being washed up, strongly exaggerated by some of us. I remember one beat writer named Joe Smith wrote that there was a crisis after game 2 or 3, but he might have been told to write that by me. Man, Fleury, 5-0-1 in his last 6 starts with a .226 goals against average and a .925 save percentage. So obviously playing really, really well right now. Jared Spurgeon, Jonas Brodin playing their best hockey this season, so much better than they were the first week or two of the season. Kirill Kaprizov, 8 goals. Matt Boldy scoring every single night now. Eriksson-Ek playing really well. So they're starting to really get good games up and down their lineup. How about Mason Shaw, though? Comes up from the minors. We all know the story by now. 3 ACL surgeries over the years to reconstruct both knees. And here he is. He scores in back-to-back games. His brought this incredible energy. I called him a Tasmanian devil. He's never not at full speed. He's just a pest, but not a pest in a negative way. But then when Marco Rossi gets attacked yesterday, he just jumps to that guy's defense. I mean, there is Mason Shaw. You can see why he's the Iowa Wild captain. The question is whether he ever gets to Iowa again after he's playing. He's the type of player that sometimes you call up and you make good for what the ice time has given you, and then you never see the minors again. And that could be Mason Shaw, and it'll be one of the biggest success stories in Wild history if that ever happens, because they drafted him in the 4th round to be this type of player, and here he is 4 or 5 years later after an incredible amount of adversity, and he's back. He's now in the NHL and looking very much like an NHL player. Again, a couple goals up in the lineup with Boldy and Eriksson-Ek yesterday, so not just a 4th line guy, not a bottom 6 forward, just looks really, really good. But without further ado, here's Kalen Addison.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Well, as mentioned, happy to be joined by Kalen Addison. Kalen leads all NHL rookies with 7 assists, 5 of those on the power play, which is right up there. Also top of the league overall as players on the power play. And first of all, Kalen, how are you doing? I mean, this is talk about a turnaround for the team since an 0-3 start. 5-1-1 in your last 7, and just you have to be feeling good about the way that the team is playing right now.
Yeah, it's going good. Thanks for having me. You get off to a little bit of a slow start, and I think it's just about staying even keel and not panicking. I mean, it's an 82 game season, and it's not going to be perfect ever, and there's a lot of ups and downs, and I think our team is great at not panicking and sticking to what we know we need to do out there. And I think we had some tough bounces early on, like I said, we just stuck to it, and I think it's paid off, and it shows in our record lately.
Especially the power play. I mean, the power play has won you games this year, which last season, again, you weren't here for most of the year, but I mean, the power play, some could say lost you guys games. how hard is it for a rookie your age to come into this situation and be able to be show the confidence, one, to show how good you are in the power play, but two, knowing that, you know, that maybe you're taking a Jared Spurgeon and suddenly he's on the second unit, Dumb is off the power play. Like, does that make it, was there any uncomfortable moments coming in, or you can't think like that as a player?
I think, yeah, it's a business, it's a game. And, look, we're all friends, we're all best buddies. And, I don't think we look at it that way. Everyone's happy for everyone. Mm-hmm. When your teammates and your friends are doing good, doesn't matter how you're doing or whatever, you're always happy for your teammates. And, I mean, for me, it was just coming in and obviously, they gave me an extremely good opportunity that, you know, not a lot of players get. And I think it was just about being confident. And I think the biggest thing in this league is confidence. I truly do. And, I think the more confidence you have, the better you play, and confidence is endless. I mean, you can take your game to a whole new level, with levels mm-hmm. of confidence you have and stuff like that. So I think it's just, you know, you get put out there with players like that. I mean, you know, Kirill, Bolds, Zuki, Ecker. I mean, the list goes on our team. It's a special group of players. And I think it's just being confident out there, moving the puck quick and moving your feet all the time is been the key to success.
I don't want to jinx you, but I've never seen a power play in my time covering Minnesota that not only scores a lot, but when you don't score, your one unit is in the offensive zone, it feels like, for a minute 40. Like, the second unit barely sees the ice. I mean, how cool is that? That it just, even when you're not scoring, it's like you're getting great looks, you have puck possession, which always seems to be the issue on the power plays of yesteryear.
It's totally right. I mean, I think the biggest thing is we're relentless out there. We move it quick, we get shots off, but I think we start moving it around super quick and making plays, and it tires the PK out. And then we can, you know, even if shots get blocked, we can be first on pucks and win those battles. And you see, we score a lot of our goals late in power plays. And even if we don't score, I think the momentum we gain off our power plays has been huge this year, and it drives our team offensively. And yeah, like just like you said, it's momentum driven, and even when we don't score, it gets our team going, and I think we have a lot of success this year on the power play.
So how, this is gonna be the weird question, but how do you get so good on the power play? Like is this all God given, or how much coaching has come on the way? Because what you do out there, the instincts offensively, are really impressive. I mean, just the your ability to walk the blue line and create, you know, lanes and things like that.
I think it's just something I've always kind of taken pride of, you know, is power play and offensive situations, and just working on the things that I know, you know, could get me far in hockey. And you know, I think, you know, there's obviously learning through different coaches and seeing situations and watching players and stuff like that. But I think it's just taking pride in it and enjoying it and wanting to get better at it. And I think the power play is obviously a really cool thing. And you know, guys that are good on the power play it's fun to watch. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I want to be one of those players. And for me to be put in this situation and, you know, be given this opportunity is huge for me. And I think it just all comes down to quick puck movement, being, you know, just being moving it quick. Mm-hmm. And I think it tires PKs out, and I think it just opens up things for everyone else when you move the puck quick.
Erik Karlsson, who had a hat trick last night, he was somebody that you looked up to a lot as a kid.
Yeah, he was probably my favorite player growing up, especially his time in Ottawa. I loved watching him. Mm-hmm. Loved it.
Yeah, and it seems like he's gotten a reinvigoration here. I don't know, like, if you watched any of the highlights from last night's game, but
no,
man, he's scoring in every way now, and has 15 points already this season.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. No, I didn't know that. He's extremely smart offensively.
Yeah.
And. Yeah, honestly, one of the biggest players that I looked up to growing up and tried to model my offensive game after. And I still just try to improve every day. Yeah.
Tell me about your, like, I feel like we don't know a lot about you off the ice. What do you like to do away from the rink? What's it like back home? What do your parents do? Things like that.
Yeah, I'm a pretty simple guy. Like, just hanging out. I think anyone would tell you that. Whether it's by myself or with some buddies, I like to just kind of be by myself and go with the flow a little bit. back home, I like playing tennis with my dad or my friends or whatever, or pickleball. I've gotten really big into that. And my dad's a mail carrier. My mom's a social worker. She does like child and income assistance, family welfare, stuff like that. So super easy going, just going with the flow. Wow. That's pretty much me.
Yeah. What was your big like holy crap, I'm here moment? I don't like, has it been maybe a player that you looked up to that you're like, I can't believe I'm on the ice with them? Was it being thrown into the playoffs against Vegas? Like, what do you think was the moment like, holy man, I've made it?
I mean, there's this, every day I come to the rink and I'm still thinking, holy, like, I'm really here. You know, you look around and you see not only a teammate, but a friend, Marc-Andre Fleury, Kirill Zuki. I mean, you get to watch these guys and be friends with them every day. And that's the coolest thing for me. And it's a blessing to be able to play in this league and be on this team. And, I think back to my first game in LA a couple of years ago and starting lineup, and, you know, I'm paired with Ryan Suter, and I look and there's Jonathan Quick, Drew Doughty, Kopitar, Dustin Brown. And I'm like, amazing. Wow, this is crazy. So just little moments like that kind of stick in your brain, I think.
How much you, like, we talk about it all the time, like Bill Guerin and Dean Evason are big on culture here and making you guys feel comfortable that when you come right up from Iowa, that you can feel like you are, you know, belong, that there's no nerves. And, you know, Bill was talking to me about this in Montreal the other day, and then, like, right on cue, Marco Rossi is going to dinner with Spurgeon and Zuccarello and Erickson Ek. And then you turn the corner with Marcus Foligno and Sam Steele. And it really feels like that is a real thing. Like, you know, years ago, I don't know if we'd see the captain of the team or whoever, and I'm not taking shit, but, like, you know, hang out with the youngest guy on the team. I think that says something.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't here for those times, I guess you could say, but, it's like, everyone's your friend. I mean, you know, you got a day off in Montreal. I'm going out with Dumbs, Hartsy, Goose, Moose, Sammy. Like, it's just whatever. Guys are friends, and it doesn't matter who you are. Everyone is friends, and everyone's equal. And I think it's really about the culture here. Like, I've really learned that, and there are no bad guys here. There are, no one's selfish, and I think it starts from the top, and since I came to this organization, I mean, I haven't felt more comfortable in a locker room and on a daily basis ever than I have here, and I think everyone could speak for that. And it's a day one thing here is culture. We're gonna have good people and selfless people, and it's carried through, and it really makes it a lot easier and less stressful on a day-to-day basis.
We saw your confidence on the road trip. I was actually at the game, so I didn't see it live, but then I saw it on Twitter. Are you coming out to talk to Gorg shirtless in either Chicago or Detroit? That says something about your confidence. I don't even need a t-shirt.
Yeah, I'm usually don't have a ton of clothes on, I think, so usually rocking the spandex and shirt, usually no shoes even, so pretty simple guy.
Yeah. You got rid of everybody's wondering why you got rid of the lettuce. You got rid of the hair, long hair. What, you just thought it was time?
Yeah. Too many years of just too much hair and too much time, and it just make me so hot. I would just be sweating. Like, it's just kind of painful. I was done with it, so I like the shaved head. It's easy. Yeah. Can do it myself. It's one of those things that's just I was just done with the hair. Yeah. It really was.
There's a Wild fanatic named Bryce. He lives way, way north Manitoba. So north, I think he's part of the Cree Nation. So north that I think to go anywhere he has to fly. And he says he wants to take you fishing, but two, he wants to know your favorite thing to do at home in Manitoba.
My favorite thing would be, I think, just enjoying outside. Being with my friends, like I said, playing tennis, pickleball, things like that. The lakes are great, you know, enjoying the water, the good weather. Manitoba is obviously known for that stuff in the summer. So nothing crazy. I wish I fished. I don't, but I would like to start. I don't know, just Manitoba's is great in the summer. So
yeah,
just enjoying it.
Zach from wants to know your favorite thing to do in Minnesota, and do you like Minnesota better than Des Moines? Be careful, yeah. I guess.
Yeah.
You like being in Minnesota, I bet, better than Des Moines for obvious reasons.
I absolutely loved the city of Des Moines. I love it.
Yeah.
I could live there. I really could. I love that city. And obviously Minnesota is a beautiful place. I love it here as well. I've been here a couple times in the summer. I'd like to start, you know, spending my time here in the summer. Mm-hmm. I've been out on the lakes and it's a beautiful, beautiful state. I love it. I love the passion that our fans have,
yeah.
In terms of hockey. I really love it. I don't have any complaints.
I never actually asked you, or maybe I did, but I forgot, is like, where were you when you found out that you were traded from Pittsburgh and what was your reaction?
I was sleeping. It was like dinner time on a Tuesday or something. I don't know. I was playing in junior and I was sleeping and I woke up to a missed call and a voicemail or text, whatever, from assistant GM in Pittsburgh. And I was in shock. I mean, uh-huh. I'm 19 years old. I never expect to get traded in the NHL and kind of a big trade. Like,
yeah.
I was just shocked kind of. And then a couple of minutes later, I got a call from Billy and it was right after he obviously came to Minnesota from Pittsburgh and I answered the phone and he goes, "Oh, you miss me yet?" Like, yeah. So that was just a crazy story. I mean, you're 19 playing yeah. junior. You don't think you're going to get traded. I mean, there's a lot of things you don't think in hockey that happen and, uh-huh. Just going with the flow.
Yeah. I remember my cousin played, he wound up playing at St. Cloud State, but when he was in junior hockey in Waterloo over Christmas time, he got traded from like Waterloo to Sioux Falls or Sioux City. And he's like, he didn't even know you could get traded in the USHL. And so I can imagine that as a junior player, you can trade a junior team to junior team in Canada, but you know, are your rights really getting traded at that young age?
Yeah, it was weird. Yeah, it was really weird. And I had never been traded. That's my only trade in my career. So just going with the flow. I think there's nothing you can do.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
Really good question from 10-year-old Owen Olson. He says, "I wear number two playing hockey. Why do you wear number two?"
I don't know. When I first started playing in Lethbridge, I think they just gave me number two. Like, I don't even know how it came about. And I just rolled with it and, I really liked it. I think it kind of suited me and, I don't know. And then I got to Iowa and I chose it there and here yeah. I'm like, well, why not? I mean, don't change a good thing. So
yeah.
You might as well just keep yeah. it. And I like it. Yep. So there's no reason.
Yep. As you just said, Lethbridge, one memory that I definitely have is when the Wild acquired you, I got a text from Barry Dubnyk, Devin's dad, who lives in Lethbridge. And the first thing he said, he goes, "You are going to love this guy." Like, and he was talking more, not even just as a player, but as a quote. Like, you know, he knows that, you know, all sports writers, they just root for the good quote. And so, we were just talking, a bunch of us actually down by the locker room. We're like, you know, like we were kind of going around, like, who's your most surprised, like, great quote of the season? And all of us picked you up. So, which I don't know if that's a good thing for you, Kalen, because that means that we're going to be asking for your lot after games. So.
I'll just take it. Yeah. I'll take it.
So, no, all publicity is good publicity.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Dogfather, one of the great Twitter names on Twitter. Pre-game routine. What's your pre-game routine?
Like whole game day?
Yeah.
I like to skate in the morning. I mean, unless we have back-to-back, I always skate. Get a sweat going. No real rituals with food, nothing crazy like that. I always have a long nap, like anywhere from 2 to 4 hours.
Wow.
I'm a big sleeper. And nothing crazy, really. I mean, I try to kind of do the same stretching routine. I think it's just because I like how I feel when I do it. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm not a huge ritual guy or superstitious
right.
in any
That's
way.
Good.
And try to stay out of my own head in that way mm-hmm. and just kind of go free yeah. about it and just kind of let it happen. Yeah.
Well, that's what Dean just said right now, because obviously tomorrow you're going with 7D. And I said, any chance that we might see Kalen, you know, get the hybrid look again? He goes, no. He goes, he's playing too good. I'm not messing with his head right now. I'm putting him at forward. So so you're playing D tomorrow night.
Yeah.
In fact, right. that's what he said. He goes, no, Kalen Addison is a defenseman.
Yeah. So, that was crazy though last year.
Yeah.
What was
that like? Was it fun a little bit or no?
Oh, it was totally fun.
Yeah.
I mean, and you're playing the NHL. It's it's a dream come true no matter how you're playing, where you're playing, how much you're playing, doesn't matter. Yeah. It's the best job in the world. And I didn't know what to do or where to go, but I just had a great time with it and just rolled with it.
It's funny because it's funny to bring out my cousin. I remember when he was at Minnetonka High School, I went to one game, he had a hat trick. I'm like, this is amazing. I had a blast watching him. And then after the game, I went up to him. I'm like, how'd it feel? Like get a hat trick. He goes, it was awesome, but I can't wait to get back on D. Like there are some people that are just defensemen. Right. And I'm sure that's how you feel.
For me, it's, when you're a D-man, you see everything in front of you all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, besides going back for pucks and breaking out pucks, obviously that's the hard part with guys coming full steam. And but I think at forward, you know, there's always guys on your hip and on your back, and you always got to be looking around. And I like being on D, having control, knowing where I am, knowing that everyone's in front of me, and then I can use my instincts and jump into the rush when I need to.
Right. Makes sense. Noah wants to know, what's the difference between the obvious quarterbacking a power play in Iowa versus the NHL? Besides just obviously the talent that you mentioned, the four guys that you're playing with, it's got to be a pinch yourself type thing. But how different is it in Iowa compared to here?
Yeah, look, it's the American League is a great league. It's the second best league in the world. That's what it is. And there's a reason that it feeds so many guys to the NHL. And, but I mean, obviously the talent is different. And I think smart players play even better with smarter players. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, you get good, smart, talented players around you, it makes you better.
Mm-hmm.
And, I just think the puck movement, the zone entries, the shooting is, everything is just more crisp. Everything is faster. And I just think it's easier in a way because guys are in the right spots all the time, and the passes are so crisp and everything like that.
Right. This is a great question. Daniel T wants to know, every good stash deserves a name. What's yours?
Yeah. I don't have a name. It's barely a mustache.
Yeah. But you didn't want to change it shave it off for Movember, right?
No. Takes me months to just get a couple hairs in my face. I gotta take pride in what I got.
Look at Spurge. It's taken him like 10, 15 years. Yeah. Here's a really good question from Hideki. He wants to know, if you had to go back 4 or 5 years and give advice to an 18-year-old Kalen Addison coming out of junior about how to succeed at the NHL or as a pro player, what would your advice be?
That's a good question. That's one I never thought of.
I bet highs and lows are a big thing, right? I mean, I'm sure it's hard the last couple of years to stay out of your own head and think about, like, where's my standing in the organization? Why do they keep on bringing me up and down? How do you play me in the playoffs last year, but not many games? You know, like, that's probably hard too, right?
That's probably the number one thing would be just stick with it. Like, you could have your best game of your life and I don't know, get sent down. You could have one of your worst games and you're somehow in the lineup or moved up, or I don't know. There's so many ups and downs that it's not worth your time and energy to think about
it.
And I think the other thing would be how important defense is in the NHL, and just knowing where to be, where to, you know, when to be on the right side of guys, and just how to read off guys and defend. And because defending is hard. I mean, players are, it's the best league in the world for a reason, and guys are ridiculously skilled. And I think for a smaller guy like me, you just have to, it's just all situational. And the more experience you have, you start to figure things out just by kind of seeing where guys are, and then you know for next time. And there's so many ups and downs in hockey. I think it's just keep going and just going and going.
I mean, it's always sort of, I almost feel like sometimes it's cliche as us as writers, whenever a smaller guy comes up that's on the blue line, you're like, well, how's it going to be like to watch Jared Spurgeon play? But, you know, in all honesty, like, do you look at somebody like sometimes at Spurge and say, all right, like, how's he doing this? Like, you know, like last night, he was unbelievable.
He is such a good player. And I think it really takes, like, sitting down and watching him day after day and really nitpicking his game. Like, every night. He is so solid all the time. His consistency is over the top. And I mean, it's crazy. Like, he's such a small guy and he defends so well. He's so smart. Stick is so good. Like, he's really a guy you can learn from.
Yeah.
Like, really, really learn from.
He made Brendan Gallagher almost lose his mind last night. So
yeah, he's a solid, solid player both ends of the ring.
Yeah. Here's a really good question, too. What is the best hidden perk of being in the NHL? This is from also Hideki.
We get treated so well. I mean, it's something you can't even imagine. You know, you dream of being in the NHL, you dream of the life, and you can't take it for granted ever. And for me, I think it's the hotels and the flying and the meals we get every day and, just the way we get treated overall. It's not really hidden, but I think it kind of is until you really experience it, like day in and day out. It's amazing.
Well, there's so much things that we don't see. And even I always tell people as beat writers, you think you know 100%, you know like 5%. And even it's the stuff that like those bonding trips you go down and you're staying at the hotel and you're golfing and all the fun you have with the teammates, that's stuff that we'll never get to see. And it's got to be what makes this such an enjoyable, careers are short. And it's got to be just a pinch yourself type thing.
And that's exactly it. I mean, you know, you can, like I said, talk about the hotels and the food and the planes and all that stuff. But like the biggest thing really is the friendships.
Yeah.
You come to the rink with your best buddies every day, whether it's, you know, a legend in Marc-Andre Fleury or a guy 19 years old or whatever, like everyone's best buddies. And that's what makes hockey great.
Yeah. You saw a lot of Mason Shaw and the shit that he had to deal with down in Iowa. I mean, to see him, 2 goals in 2 games, you know, you've played in front of your parents. You got to be there with his dad watching him score last night. And you see the reactions of all you guys when he scores. I mean, it seems like it's not only just special that he scores, but what he's gone through, it seems like all you guys always remember that.
Yeah, he earns everything he gets. That's probably the best way to put it about Shazzy. And he's obviously one of my best buddies. And to see a moment like that in Chicago and last night and him having his dad around, like stuff like that, that's super cool. And everyone eats that up. And especially when a guy earns it like that, all the tough times he's been through, all the, you know, just that guy never stops. He never stops battling. He's a great teammate. He will do anything for anybody. And those are the guys you want on your team, obviously. Mm-hmm. And the best way to put it is I'm not surprised at how good he's doing. He's earned it, and he is a very good hockey player. I am not surprised at all.
By the way, next week, or no, it's sorry, this trip goes to Seattle, San Jose. I was going to say, that's going to be your first time that you play Carlson, that whenever you play San Jose next?
Or yes,
you,
it
yeah,
will.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah,
that'll be. Will you do, yeah. Are you a stick trader or anything like that, or try to get something from him?
No, I've been thinking about that, kind of trying to maybe figure stuff like that out, you know, playing some of the cooler guys that I've, you know, watched since day one of my life. And I'm not into that, but I've been thinking about figuring something out.
Yeah.
I'm not sure for which guys or when I want to start, but it's just so cool playing guys like that, playing with legends, and it's just something you could have never dreamt about.
Yeah, I bet. By the way, Heater wants to know, is Houston's your favorite beer? And Brandon, is that Houston's a beer?
It's a bar.
Oh, okay, it's a bar. Is that your favorite bar?
No, I don't really go to the bar in Brandon. There's like 2 bars and no bars is okay for me there.
Yeah. Last question. This is a funny one. DS, I think it's DS. It wants to know where Taves got you the other day. Like
right above where it matters.
Yeah, I thought that must have been, at first I'm like, oh boy, I thought you like, he broke something.
Kind of like, in the crotch, like, pelvis, groin area where it's soft and got me in good spot, that's for sure.
Manitoba guy just saying hi to another Manitoba person.
Yeah, I guess if that's the way that's the way you want to put it,
that was your real welcome to the NHL when Jonathan Taves spears you in the groin. All right, here's the last question. Do you have a Halloween costume picked out? I assume you guys' party is coming up here in the next couple of days.
Yeah, I do.
Can you say what it's going to be?
Yeah. I'm going to do Pablo Escobar. might have to dye my mustache a little darker. And yeah, I don't know. I kind of just kind of a last That's minute awesome. Thing, but I think it kind of suits me.
Yeah. Well, Kalen, keep up the good work. As I mentioned, I mean, it's been just fun watching you. I know Wild fans are just, you know, tickled just how well you're playing and getting to see you play because they've been waiting for you. You know, it feels like a long time, yet you're only 22. I'm sure sometimes for you, even as a pro player, you're like, when am I going to get here? But here you are here, and you're, I don't think you're going anywhere, Kalen.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, it does feel longer, obviously, than I guess, yeah, you're right. I am only 22, but you know, when you want to make it and you're a competitor and a professional athlete, everyone wants to be at the top right away. And you know, whether you are or you aren't, and I think it's played out well for me, and I'm, you know, I'm glad for every up and down I've had, and I'm just grateful for it all, and I'm grateful to be here in this moment.
That's awesome, and I hate to tell you, Kalen, fans are going to be reading probably a lot of your quotes coming up, because as I said, as you could hear during this podcast, you are as well-spoken an athlete as we've covered here, so really appreciate it, Kalen.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks. That is Kalen Addison, and here's a word from one of our sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Well, my thanks to Kalen Addison for joining today's podcast. Man, Kalen is just a well-spoken, eloquent kid, as you could all tell. And I wasn't kidding with him. Get used to seeing a lot of Kalen Addison quotes. He's just so well-spoken after games, even just breaking down games, plays, things like that. Just a really, really, really good kid. Lots of podcasts throughout our athletic platform. Steve Wino, who just came out with a book on e-bugs, joined the Athletic Hockey Show with Jesse Granger, Rob Pizzo, and myself on Wednesday. So definitely take a look at that. Don Granato, the coach of the very surprising, surprising Buffalo Sabres, joined Craig Custance and Sean Gentile in the Athletic Hockey Show. And Hillary Knight stops by the Friday edition of the Athletic Hockey Show with Haley Salvian and Sean Gentile. So definitely check that out. Follow us on your favorite podcast platform and leave a rating and review. And right now, get an annual subscription to The Athletic for just $1 a month for 6 months when you visit theathletic.com/straightfromthesource. Straight from the Source will return. And don't forget to listen to me on the Athletic Hockey Show Roundtable, along with Rob Pizzo and Jesse Granger, every single Wednesday here at The Athletic. Talk to you soon, everybody.